Blog Talk Radio. Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. We welcome Sister Dixon, my cousin, Sharice Bellamy, Matthew Pope. Hi, Matthew. And Sister Ella Fowler for joining us. I want you to remember, too, that you can text on Facebook or you can text through our Blog Talk site on the computer, or please call in. And my husband will give you the phone number again if you want to call in.
Amen. It's 347-237-4054. Amen.
Amen.
347-237-4054.
Amen.
And we're coming from the English Standard Version. Amen. This is from the English Standard Version. And it says as such, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Amen. And that is the word from John 8, 31 through 33. Amen?
Amen.
And if we move forward, I would like to mention that as we are going through this, this verse is a promise to those who desire to be Jesus' disciples. And he only brings true freedom. Amen? It's only Jesus who brings true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these verses take us to the gospel according to John's pointed word. It's a strong verbal written attack, amen, against the people represented by those called the Jews. And I want you to know that it's imperative that the congregation or those who are listening come away from the encounter with this text, understanding that the Jews mentioned in 8:31 do not stand for all Jews. Neither are the Jews of Jesus' time nor the Jews of any time. Amen. Or for any type of Judaism. Amen. To make this passage imply that Judaism is an enslaving religion or that Jesus somehow stood outside of Judaism to misunderstand the passage. Amen. So the historical setting of this is which it is written, it is enduring the theological or the conclusion or the implication, consulting a reputable commentary on John. Amen. And please understand once again that it's not a form of anti-Judaism. Amen. And as we move forward on this. Now, when we go into the text, and it starts off, it says, and I will be opening up the mic as we have as we communicate through this interactive Bible study. And the word says, if you obey my teachings, if you obey my teachings. Now, if you obey my teachings can be looked at as if you obey my word, if you remain in my word, and that under the New American Bible, it uses that translation. And another way that it can be looked at, if you live according to my teachings. Now, under the New English Bible, it speaks of if you dwell within the revelation I have brought. Amen. So there are so many Bibles and so many translations, and I'm just really pulling out a few in terms of how it is written or how it is translated. Amen. Also, in looking on my studies in the Jerusalem Bible, it says, if you make my word your home, if you make my word your home. Under the Phillips, it translates, if you are faithful to what I have said. It is possible that you can give an expression, any type of expression, depending on the Bible that you may be reading from. But if you do what I have told you would be the term, or if you continue to practice what I have taught you, if you continue to practice what I have taught you. So when Jesus is looking at it, he's saying to the Jews, if you of the Jews have believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So, again, we've given a number of different translations and how it can be used depending on the type of Bible translation that you're looking at. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. When we carefully look at that, you are my disciple. You are my disciples. If you look at that, it's also if, which is one of the Bibles, the Jerusalem Bible, even the New English Version, it talks about if you remain in me, if you remain in me. So this context remain, it could be also used as if you obey. If you obey, or to be faithful. Now, keep in mind that it's talking about the disciples, and here this is almost an argumentative type of passage, and Jesus is speaking to the Jews, letting them know that If you obey my word, I'm hearing a phone ringing, and oftentimes we hear things that it becomes easily distracting. If you obey, or if you do what I have told you, and again, it's looking, it's going equivalent to if you obey, or if you are faithful, if you are faithful. Amen. So in when we look at it, if you want to go to the expression of 5:38, it literally says that you do not have his word remaining in you. You do not have his word remaining in you. So whether John is talking about the word remaining in the believer or the believer remaining in the word is essentially basically the same. Amen. And again, this is an interactive Bible study, so I'm going to open up the mic as we go on from passage to passage. Amen? In the context, disciples may be understood when we think about disciples. These are disciples that were followers of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus, or they were considered also adherents, which is someone who supports a particular idea. Amen. Follow someone that supports a particular idea. Now, so I'm going to open up the mic so we can have discussion on this in terms of your reading and how you are receiving that. Amen. So your mics are open at this time. If you would like to comment.
Again, let me give you the mic, the phone number, if you want to call in to discuss so you can be heard. The phone number again is
347-237-4054.
Or if you want to text, if you're online, I want to welcome all the cousins, the Hawthorne cousins, the Walker cousins. Thank you for checking in, Lael, Kalia, hi. Dr. Austin, Dr. Shelley, hello. Hello, Daphne. We welcome you to this site. Please join us if you want to call in and we can hear your voice. You can call in and talk to us. Or if you would like to text something via Facebook or online, you'll receive it and read it here.
Amen. 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 Any comments on that, on what your Bible says, or any comments? Let's, get a dialogue on that. If you obey my word, amen? If you abide in my word, if you obey my word, how does that read to you? Amen? I'm opening up the mics.
Amen. Can I share somewhat? You know, I love to share the different versions in the Living Bible. And for me, the Living Bible and the Good News Bible are the Bibles that I started off with, and I really enjoy reading those. They seem to be in a more modern language.
Amen.
And I always believe that you can't, that with context with Scripture, you have to read what happened before, the verses afterwards, sometimes the entire chapter, sometimes the entire book. But I'm going to go with the chapter before, verse 30. It says, "Then many of the Jewish leaders who heard him say these things began believing him to be the Messiah. And Jesus said to them, 'You are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' But we are descendants of Abraham, they said, and have never been slaves to any man on earth. What do you mean, set free?' And Jesus replied, 'You are slaves of sin, every one of you, and slaves don't have rights. But the Son has every right there is. So if the Son sets you free, you will be indeed free.' Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because my message does not find a home within your heart. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father, but you are following the advice of your father." "Well, our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if he were, you would follow his good example. But instead, you are trying to kill me, and all because I told you the truth. Mm-hmm. I heard from God. Abraham wouldn't do a thing like that. No, you are obeying your real father when you ask that way." So I just think that just says so much about our behaviors. People calling themselves Christians and acting worldly. People calling themselves Christians saying that they're children of the Most High, but yet still behaving in another way. And I think that, like they say, like the saying goes, actions speak louder than words. So you know that a tree, an apple tree, is going to bear its fruit, apple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bean plant is going to bear its fruit, bean.
Mm-hmm.
So if the parent plant or tree or the source is one, then the fruit that it bears is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be listed as a child of God. Mm-hmm. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Welcome, Rita Jones.
And you know how we like to interact on this Bible study, amen? That's the beauty of technology, being able to communicate through technology from different areas, amen? So we like to also let you know that there are those who are listening by internet who's feeding off of what we're saying. Those people listening by internet, please, if you would like to, please call 347-2374-4 and be connected, amen, and join in the conversation. And if you choose not to, we pray that the word comes out, amen, and that you are fed by what has been released this evening, amen. Any comments? As we talk about John 8:31, for the newcomers that have just come on, we're in John 8:31-33, and we've just shared 8:31. Any comments?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, we're going to move on since you're going to get quiet on us. Amen. I'm not used to you being so quiet, but that's okay. Amen.
Welcome, Tommy Henry. I see you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we look at 8:32, according to the Jewish teaching, the truth was found in their law. Amen. So this is the Jewish teaching. The truth was found in their law, and the study of the law is what made man free. The study of the law is what made man free, according to the Jewish teaching. So here the truth is referred to the revelation of God that Jesus brings. So when it's talking about that, when Jesus says, who the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He's saying here that, and he's going into talking about how the truth is considered the law that made man free. So when we look at it, how could the truth make a person free? How could the truth make a person free? And the other question is, are you free now? Do you feel free now? Amen? Any comments? Any takers on that? Any comments? I don't want to feel like I'm pulling teeth now.
Praise God. Welcome, Beth. Nice to hear from you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I think that Jesus wants us to emphasize the truth, and especially, and these words are so appropriate, not just, I mean, I know we're looking at it in the context, the cultural context of that time, but they're also so appropriate and worth listening to, worth adhering to for these times, because there's so many of us that are in bondage. The bondage may be, we may call the different bondages different names, but we're still in bondage to whatever. If there was nothing like that, then we wouldn't have the protests that we have. We wouldn't have the 12-step groups that we have. We wouldn't have the counseling groups and all of these different support groups and things.
Amen.
That we have, if there was not some type of bondage. I believe the truth is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Set you free.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen.
Amen. I think I thought I heard Minister Haman.
Amen. I just want to piggyback off of the doctor, about the truth making us free. You know, when we concede to and surrender to what the Master, what Jesus is saying, knowing that he is not only credible, but what he's saying is life transforming. And when we concede to that life transforming word, we can be what he's called us to be, his disciples,
Amen.
Abiding
Amen.
In him, and he abiding Amen. In us. And when we do Amen. That, when we abide, it's not difficult. The things that he's asking us to do won't be difficult because we have now surrendered to the truth, and he is the
Amen.
Truth, the way, and the life.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to go off on that, that here when John is also communicating, he's talking to the Jews at that
mm-hmm.
time, there was a contrast between the law of Moses and what
mm-hmm.
Jesus is saying.
Right.
The truth, if you abide in me, Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, and here it is, there's a comparison and a contrast with the Jewish believing in the law of Moses. Many were still believing. Well, how can you? We believe in, here it is, we are free from the law of Moses. And here it is, you're coming and you're telling us that if you apply in me, that you can be free. So there's a lot of discrepancy there. There's a big argument there in terms of feeling that by Jesus saying that at that time, that he was the devil. He was the devil. Anyone who was against the law of Moses at that time and did not believe in the law of Moses, they were considered an outcast. They were non-believers because the only way that you could really live was by the law of Moses. So I really want to, to bring that in as a reminder that this was the argument. This was the argument, and Jesus was looking at that. Those who were believing in the law of Moses, they were arguing because they didn't believe who he was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe that he was Jesus. So when we're looking at this, and when Jesus is making these statements, he's talking about the followers of Jesus. The followers of Jesus. So now he's beginning to start to give a sense of division. If you are my disciples, if you are my disciples, so just because you have the followers of Jesus and then you and if you do not believe in me, then you're not my disciple. And here's what Jesus is saying. So when I think about that and when I look at it, I begin to start to look at it in terms of the world of today, the attitude of today. Do you believe in Jesus? And that's either a yes or a no. Either you believe in me or you don't. So that is the contrast I'm bringing to you this evening, and it's up for discussion. Amen? Because I don't want to take over. I want you to participate, and I want to hear the comments as I am adding more to this. Amen? Any comments? Any comments? All of your mics are on, so all you have to do is speak. You don't have to push number one.
Amen. Welcome, Cousin Ralph. Welcome, Linda. Welcome to the conversation.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so as we continue on, as I said, you know, we're talking about according to the Jewish, these are the Jewish teachings, the truth was found in the law. And again, as I said, it was the study of the law that made man free. The study of the law that made man free. So this was the Jewish teaching at the time. And here it is that you are having the truth, and Jesus is saying that believing in me is what's going to make you free. That's going to make you free. So there's a contrast right there with the law of Moses and the law of God, or the law of Jesus. What he's saying, well, actually, the law of God. Amen?
Right. They thought that, well, and in the Jews today, they think that Orthodox feels that it was that the following the law, that the works and the following the law and the rituals was what would make them free. But they were never free because they continued to do that. They would continue to do the burnt offerings and continue to slaughter, you know, the calves and the sheep and so forth. They continued to do this. They continued to petition the high priest. They continued to do those things, and they felt that, and Jesus is saying that they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
They missed it. Just listen to the word. It's not that hard. And sometimes we as believers now, we make it so much more difficult and complicated than it is. Salvation is
Amen.
So simple.
Amen.
Salvation is so simple.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And we know that the law came to bring us in. What does the word talk about? It talked about how the law during that time was like a schoolmaster. It was supposed to teach us, and it was supposed to bring us in and correct us and let. But see, where they failed was when Jesus came, they didn't realize he wasn't changing anything. He was fulfilling and making
That's
us
right.
free, even freer than what we were.
Right.
Now you don't have to kill those bullocks, because now I'm here fulfilling the law that I had you, walking that line. Because you know what, back then we needed that line. The Jews needed that line. They needed that outline. They needed that, schoolmaster to teach them the things that they needed to be taught. That was the law. But when Jesus came, he says, now you're not under it, so to speak, because I've made you free. So now, because you are free, you can move in a way that is pleasing. I don't know. Pleasing to his sight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say. I wish you can bounce off of what I'm saying. I'm trying to open it up.
Amen.
I'm trying to open this up. But I'm just saying that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Amen. And we know that you're always piggybacking off of what's being said, and we do thank you.
Right, absolutely.
For your participation, amen.
Amen.
You know, that's what hands on and brings everything to life, amen.
Amen. One person sees the word and how it's given is different for each and every one of us, isn't it? That's what I thought. That's what I felt, and that's what I heard. With every time I read a scripture and what I got out of it was somewhat different from many other people in my congregation, what they got out of it. And then you had to keep an open mind and an open heart to what each person was saying and trying to get an understanding of their definition of what the word was coming forth to them.
But at the end of the day, we all supposed to think the same thing. And as we go on and we continue to move in dialect, I mean in conversation, Holy Spirit, He will give us understanding of
exactly
what you'll bring it down to that understanding, because we're to speak the same thing and
exactly
and think the same thing, because whatever we think and whatever we get, it comes from Him, Holy Spirit.
We all want.
Amen. And again, that's what I was alluding to when I was talking about in terms of the different translations. There are so many different Bibles there is. And as I continue, know the truth. There's another translation. Know the truth, you know, which is the verb to know. And I pulled this from out of a Moffat Bible, and know the truth means to understand. To understand. And here it is another Bible, which is the Jerusalem Bible. The term is to learn. To learn. So there are many different translations. There are many different translations. You know, so knowing the truth is, we have to refer to the type of content that is used. Amen? So it is necessary to say that you will know the truth, or you will know what is true about God. You will know what is true about God. Amen? So that's basically whatever translation that you have that is breaking down, it's so that you were able to gain understanding. Amen? Because if you know the word, it just really gives you a clearer understanding. I remember when I started with the translations. I started with the NIV Study Bible because I had a difficult time understanding the King James Version. So I used the NIV to help me to learn or to understand, you know, what it was saying. So there are so many different translations out there. There are so many different translations, but and as we move even further. We want to know, and it's talking about, he says, what is true about God, and what is true about God that will make you free? What is it that's true about God that will make you free? So when we're looking at the, in 32, it says, so you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is that term, what is it that we're learning that's going to make you free? What is it that we're trying to understand that's going to make you free? And that is the whole key to the whole message, is being able to understand, well, what is it that's going to make me free?
What he's speaking about.
Someone else might think something totally different. And that's what Bible study is about. That's what Bible study is all about. The truth. The truth is the word of God. Knowing the truth and understanding the truth is what makes you free. That's what makes you free. And that was what the contrast was with the Jews and Jesus. there was no, the understanding was totally different than what they understood. They understood the law of Moses. They understood the law of Moses. So they were basically responding off of what they knew and what they understood. And Jesus was trying to get them to learn this was not the law of Moses. It was about Jesus. It was about Jesus. Amen? So
I like that because he wanted them to go deeper.
Amen.
He wanted them to go deeper in their understanding of it all. Yeah, I like that. You know, he wanted them to go deeper.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So another way that could be looked at that is becoming free. He is maybe understood as being released. Being released. Something that causes you to no longer to be in bondage.
Yes.
Something that no longer causes you to be in bondage. Another way to be looked at you, something that causes you so that you will not be changed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Or it gets even deeper. In some languages, it may be expressed that this will cause you to no longer to be slaves. Slaves. So when we're looking at that, slaves to what? We're talking about slaves to sin. Amen? So when we're breaking this down and understanding that, Jesus, this is a slave, being a slave to sin. And then it goes on to 33, and they answer him, "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that you will become free? How is it that Jesus is telling them that you will become free? We have never been enslaved to anyone under the law of Moses. So when we look at this, we're looking at this saying that they are descendants of Abraham. And in some translations, Abraham, you might see we are Abraham's seed. Amen? And that's in the ancient Bible to translate that. It translates Abraham's seed or descendants from Abraham. And it is true, I mean, when you look at it in the Greek word, it's used in a singular term. Not descendants, but the seed. And also, we can even go a bit further, even in Galatians 3:16. Paul argues on the basis of a singular seed that Jesus is the only real descendant of Abraham. So when we're talking about something singular, or we're talking about it as being collective. So in different parts of the Bible, in Corinthians 11:22, the meaning, and it's still talking about, is being descended. So when it's saying here, when it's saying that we had never been enslaved, when they're saying we've never been enslaved, so what are they saying? If they've come through the lineage of Abraham, if you remember, think about the Romans. Think about the Romans. Abraham was the forefather. Amen? Abraham was the forefather. We have never been anybody slaves. So some commentators suggest that the Jews may have been claiming they had that. Maybe they were talking about a political subjection. Maybe it was political to any other people. Amen? So one would even think that, you know, that in terms of the history of the Jewish nations, that was, they were affirming that they had been a political subjection, especially since we know that being slaves as God, remember they were punishing them for the sins? God was punishing them for the sins? So to say that you have never been enslaved, there was slavery during that time.
Maybe this tribe didn't have work. These particular cities wasn't slaves. Wasn't slaves.
particular group, it could have been also. But see, again, mm-hmm. that's what we look at in terms of the different translations.
But I think that, like if you go on to verse 34, where Jesus replied, I tell you the truth that everyone who sins is a slave.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Sin is a slave. Slavery is a sin. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where I was going. Everyone who sins is a sin. Is sinning to slave, is a sin to slave. Amen.
I think another good point that you brought up was the seed. Seed singular, seed plural. When we think, you know how I am with the family tree and doing genealogy, but within a seed, there are so many, within the apple seed, there's so many apple trees that are existing in that seed. So there's so many seeds to come from a seed. And here these folks are claiming to be Abraham's seed, but not producing what Abraham had produced.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good.
Mm-hmm. What about? I even think in terms of we say faith slaves to sin. What about spiritual slaves?
Yeah.
Would you look at it, if one is a slave to sin,
then you are a spiritual
slave. Then just the opposite means that you are a spiritual slave.
Mm-hmm.
Or a slave to the spirit. Amen.
Whatever the spirit may be. Can I add something else about Abraham? In verse 35 in this version, it says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if you're not behaving like the seed that you came from,
mm-hmm.
and you're enslaved to something else,
mm-hmm.
not as you were intended, then you're
That's
not
good.
A permanent fixture to that family, to the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were talking about earlier about Christians behaving like Christ, if they're not behaving like Christ, we're not a permanent fixture
mm-hmm.
or don't have a permanent place in the body of Christ if our behavior and our thoughts are not in
wow.
alignment with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
deep.
Right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good. Because a lot of us don't think that. That is good.
Yeah.
That is good right mm-hmm. there.
Moving on further, in the language in which there is no technical term, there is no technical term for slave. There's no, and according to my studies, there's no technical term for slave. And we have never been completely dominated by anyone, amen? Or no one has ever completely bowed our hearts to anyone, amen? Or we have not made our hearts slaves to anyone. And this is according to in languages, they're looking at that in terms of being a slave. They look at it in those terms. So the believers mentioned in John 8, 30, he warned that there was a continent of the word discipleship. And he's saying that was proof to true salvation. When mm-hmm. when we obey his word, amen, we grow in spiritual knowledge. As we grow in spiritual knowledge, we grow in freedom from sin. Amen? And that's mm-hmm. where life learning and life leads to liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question it goes out is, are you enslaved? Are you a slave to anything? Is there anything that is controlling you, that's preventing you from accepting Christ totally? Is there anything that you're putting before Jesus Christ? And that's just a question to be answered silently.
Is there anything that's keeping you from living a life?
Amen.
Because God's word says that you know, the song that's free. It's free indeed.
Free indeed.
So to experience total freedom, what is it that you're in bondage to? You know, and I think that we can think about things like if you're too consumed, like this election this year has been all-consuming, and the media has really played on that, played on people's fears, you know, played on people's insecurities about their own status, financial statuses, their status as far as not just economics, but their status as far as socialization and so forth goes with race and ethnicity. Other countries are watching us. We keep hearing about, you know, all of the different things that are going on. If we're in bondage to that, you know, it's too much. If we're in bondage to we talk about the heroin addiction right now, which is nothing new. It's nothing new. It's been in our communities before, but it has spread out even more. That it's touching other communities that we're not experienced that. You know, is it drugs and addiction, you know, a different addiction? Is it shopping? Is it food? Is it, you know, is it alcohol? Is it spending? Is it sex? Are you dying for affection? You know, whatever it may be that you're consuming you are. Is it depression? Is it depression? See, Jesus came to set us free from all of the things of the world. Those things that keep us in bondage, those things that bind us up, those things that keep us from enjoying life the way it's supposed to be, enjoying all of creation around us. Today was an absolute beautiful day, praise God. And even if it had rained all day, it would have been still a beautiful day. What is it that keeps us from doing that? And sometimes we have to be reminded of who our Creator is. Sometimes we have to be reminded Jesus came to set us free, that you don't have to live in bondage, that if you, you know, like whatever's going on in your life that you're struggling with, are you struggling because you need employment? Then give it over to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Are you struggling because your family is not in line? Give it over to Jesus. Because in ourselves, we can't do anything.
Amen.
We can't do anything, but the Lord can.
Amen.
The Lord can. Whatever is holding you hostage.
Amen.
Amen. Any comments? Anyone like to make any comments as we get closer toward the closing hour?
Amen.
Any comments? How do you see people being in bondage? Do you see the people around you in bondage? That's a question. Anyone?
Homeless people around me. I see all the time working with the Family Service League and how they are already setting up themselves to survive. And I think about it, when they do survive, they come back around in the wintertime, and they look for refuge in the system so that they can have a place to live so they don't have to be outside in the cold. And that's a type of bondage where they say they can't do no better, and they are accustomed to it. And they go around, it's a vicious circle. And I can't even say vicious, because they come back sometimes bigger, healthier than many people walking daily going to work. And so I don't know if it's bondage or not. Is that bondage?
It can still be bondage. Because, you know what, we just made a comment. I'm going to read it for you. It said, for some people, the old man keeps the person down and until people can truly let go of all their old ways, and I'm going to finish it for her, then they're not completely free. And I think that sometimes that's something that we have to continuously visit. So if you're in like an addictive situation, and regardless of what the addiction could be, it could be a myriad of things that you could be addicted to. But everything is good when you're strong. It's when you're challenged,
mm-hmm.
when your defenses are down, when you're
That's
stressed,
true.
When you feel mm-hmm. overloaded, that just that old addiction seems to call out to you. There's something mm-hmm. that they say in 12 groups, and it's that your addiction. So a person could be in a 12-step group and be so many months sober or abstinent or free. You know, so many months in freedom, but their addiction, they say, is out in the parking lot or out in the driveway, in my case right now, lifting weights, getting stronger, just waiting for me to get weak, waiting for me to have a stressful time where I let my guard down. You understand what I'm saying? Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have yeah. to continuously be prayed up. You have to
yeah.
continuously submit yourself to the Lord. And I believe that where we've come to this word, that where the Hebrews thought that they could just keep doing penance, that they could keep doing sacrifices, that they could just keep doing this, that, and the other, and that would cover it. But that you will never run fast enough to set yourself free. Okay? You can fight hard enough to set yourself free. You have to take it back to the Creator. And so Jesus, by submitting those things, submitting your challenges to the Lord, continuously submitting your challenges to the Lord, by asking the Lord to give you strength for just one more day, for just one more day, help me to do it right this day. And every day you wake up, you praise God for another chance to do it right. And even
yeah.
if you fall, praise God, we know that Jesus is a forgiving and loving God, and He
yeah.
understands our humanity. And He will give you that grace. Praise God for
Thank
grace.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And with that, I have a little testimony. In 2001,
yeah.
I was homeless, but I was homeless for only 7 days because I said, "This is
you said 7 days."
I said, "I was 7 days. Always seven with me." And I was homeless for 7 days, and I said, "No. I'm not for this life." I said I was going to church diligently, and I was praising and worship. I'm just saying it because of what the sister just said. I said, I know what she means. I understand it totally, because without prayer, without having Jesus in your life, you can't
Amen.
Go anywhere.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, my sister, I do appreciate that testimony. That testimony of just being transparent and sharing that, you know, with us, because that's where we come in terms of praying one for another. That's where we come in as far as praying one for another. So when
mm-hmm.
there is a problem, that's when we come together and pray for each other. That's
mm-hmm.
where prayer is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It becomes
mm-hmm.
powerful when we pray one for another. So
yeah.
when you be transparent and share that, that becomes not only if you share it, but it becomes a blessing to someone else that may
Hello.
Be so let them know that, you know what, guess what, you came out of it. By the
mm-hmm.
grace of God, you came out of it. It wasn't
yeah.
by yourself, but it was by the grace of God.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We thank
yeah.
you for being transparent. We're just sharing in terms of being
hungry.
Amen. Another comment from Rita. Oftentimes, people can't believe in someone they can't see
mm-hmm.
or feel either. But once they experience God moving in their lives, this is when life changes.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Rita.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
The lady was saying that she don't understand why seven. Everything always happens within 7 days. But seven means the number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
When you said seven, I just smiled. I just smiled.
Completion.
I just smiled. Meaning that whatever you were going through, it took 7 days, meaning that it's all over.
It's over.
It's over. So don't look back. Move forward to what God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
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 We're getting close, you know, to the hour. We are getting, we have maybe about a minute left, and I really want to make sure that we have not missed out on anyone. If you have a comment, there's nothing greater than sharing the word of God. There's nothing greater than when we come together as the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. We all have different gifts. The body of Christ, there are different gifts. And when we come together to share those gifts, amen, there's only one head, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But
amen.
The arm
amen.
And the knee, they have to work together, amen, because if the arm is missing, the leg is going to feel it. Amen. So one of our sisters or brothers in the body of Christ is not functioning like they're supposed to, amen, that's what we're about, coming together so that we can make sure that we move through this together. Amen. And through Christ, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen.
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 Listen,
amen.
We're in the close of the hour. I'm just hearing that we're getting ready to close down. But remember that we love you. But God loves you most. Every day is a new beginning. Please don't forget that. We love you. God bless you.
I face the dawn.